Well, good morning, and let me add my welcome to Richard. My name's John, if you don't know me. Actually, my name's John, if you do know me. It's great to be here, isn't it, in the coolest building in Kirkcaldy, the coolest building in many ways, of course. Let me pray before we open up this passage in Ecclesiastes. Father, thank you for your great wisdom to us, and we pray that we would hear your wisdom, and we would learn by the power of your Spirit to live by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I'm hoping we're going to have some slides up here. Yes, here we go. Look at this. Do keep your eyes on the screen as well as on your passage in front of you, if you can do that. Last week, we saw that there's no point looking for satisfaction in anything under the sun, anything at all in this world, because we all die. Instead, we find our satisfaction in Jesus Christ, don't we? We find our identity in Christ. So we mustn't look for satisfaction anywhere else, because everything outside of Christ will eventually fade away, and we will ourselves one day die. Which leaves us with this question. How can we best live our fleeting time in this fleeting world? Lots of people have come up with lots of advice about how best to live well. If you're on Facebook, I'm sure you get bombarded with it lots of times. Here's one. Life is a gift. Never forget to enjoy and bask in every moment you are in. I wonder what you make of that. Here's another one. All our dreams can come true if we have the courage to pursue them. You would really don't want to know what dreams I've had at night. I really hope they don't come true. Your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. Goodness me. Always believe something wonderful is about to happen, because that's our everyday experience of everyday life, isn't it? And here's one. Is this advice or is this instruction? I don't quite know how to read this one. Thanks to Matt Smith for this. Please do not cycle in the gardens. You may injure a young child or elderly person. Is that how you're supposed to read that one? Thanks, Matt. I don't know what you made of those. I guess some are more useful than others, aren't they? What they all have in common is that they all come from under the sun. They are at best what we might call worldly wisdom. Our teacher in Ecclesiastes has wisdom from above the sun for us, and he's going to answer our question today. How can we best live our fleeting time in this fleeting world? He's going to show us that despite life being unpredictable and fleeting, we don't need to be paralyzed by it. Instead, we can safely take a risk and do something in it and with the life that we've been given, as well as because we know we're going to be with God for all eternity, don't we? So we can take a risk. The teacher says that armed with God's wisdom-filled word, we can live wisely and be bold for God. There are two things that we're going to look at in our passage today. First of all, be wise amidst foolishness. And secondly, be bold even though life is unpredictable. So first then, be wise amidst foolishness. And the teacher addresses four areas of life for us. Here's the first one. Be wise when everyone else is foolish. Look with me at chapter 9, verse 14. There was once a small city with only a few people in it, and a powerful king came against it, surrounded it, and built siege works against it. Now, there lived in that city a man, poor but wise, and he saved the city by his wisdom. Wisdom gets results, doesn't it? Wisdom's great. So surely this man got a knighthood. There were books written about him, movies were made. and everyone talked about him for years and generations to come. Verse 15. But nobody remembered that poor man. That's a surprise, isn't it? Verse 16. So I said, wisdom is better than strength, but the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are no longer heeded. Wisdom is better than strength. Wisdom is worth it. So be wise, even when everyone else around you is foolish. Your wisdom will have results, even if nobody else recognizes so. But it only takes one fool to undo a load of wisdom, doesn't it? 10 verse 1. As dead flies give perfume a bad smell, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. In other words, don't be the fly in the ointment. Don't be the foolish one who undoes what is wise. So here are three more ways to be wise amongst foolishness. Here are ways we can avoid being that smelly fly. Be wise amidst foolish leaders. Be wise against foolish leaders. I think the next slide needs to be up, please. There we go. Maybe the next one after that too. We should be on slide number 12, please. Be wise amongst foolish leaders. 10 verse 4. If a ruler's anger rises up against you, do not leave your post. Calmness can lay great offences to rest. Foolish leaders will blow up. They will shout and holler. They will be aggressive. They will blame others, and they will victim shame. But you, following God's wisdom, stay calm, says the teacher. Pour oil on boiling water. Don't fight fire with fire. Foolish leaders will make poor decisions. Verse 5. There is an evil I have seen under the sun, the sort of error that arises from a ruler. Fools are put in many high positions, while the rich occupy the low ones. I have seen slaves on horseback, while princes go on foot like slaves. Now, you might think that that's a description of good servant leadership and of lifting high the poor and the needy. Well, it isn't. This is a picture taken from the battlefield, where the trained horsemen are on their feet, and those who carry the bags have been put on horses to ride headlong into battle. People promoted above that for which they are trained already. You've never seen that in a work situation, have you? Ever? I'm sure not. Foolish leaders make bad decisions. If you're a leader in anything, at home, at church, at work, in a club or society, in your family, wherever, don't be a foolish leader who makes rash decisions. Have a look also at 10 verse 16. Woe to the land whose king was a servant. The footnote there literally means a child, whose princes feast in the morning. Woe to the land who has inexperienced leaders, who make bad decisions. So you have it all now and don't plan for later. If you find yourself under one of them, be wise anyway. Be wise anyway. Next up, be wise in everyday risks. Be wise in everyday risks. We've kind of got used to riskiness in recent years, haven't we? Particularly over the last 2.5 years or so. But we've got to get on with it. We have to get on with life. It still happens. 10 verses 8 to 11. Look at these verses with me. Whoever digs a pit may fall into it. Whoever breaks through a wall may be bitten by a snake. That doesn't mean don't get on with work. It means be careful. Be careful when you're doing your DIY. Look where you're digging or drilling. Is there a live wire in that wall? Check first. The Bible's really practical, isn't it? Really practical. Verse 9. Whoever quarries stones may be injured by them. Whoever splits logs may be endangered by them. This is a bit like don't bite off more than you can chew, isn't it? Don't go for that great big pile of stones to quarry, because that might be too much for you. Go for something you can manage. Be careful that whatever you're doing is achievable given the resources that you have. Or else it might come to bite you on the backside. Verse 10. If the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. Anybody used an axe? Put your hand up if you've ever used an axe. Few people. I have never used an axe in my entire life, as far as I know. But I do lots of cooking. And it's much safer to have a sharpened knife, a knife that's properly sharp. A bit counterintuitive, isn't it? Because sharp knives are dangerous. But you're much more likely to have an accident if it's blunt. You're going to need to have a higher level of skill if you're using a blunt instrument. So make sure it's sharp. Make sure it's ready. Make sure that what you're using for whatever you're doing is fit for purpose. And verse 11. If a snake bites before it's charmed, the charmer receives no fee. In other words, if a job's worth doing, it's worth doing well. That's right. If a job's worth doing, it's worth doing well. Whether that's a paid job, a volunteer role, or a job around the house, whatever it is, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing well. Don't be like the snake charmer who hasn't done it properly. And fourthly, be wise in your speech, 10 verses 12 to 15. The litmus test of wisdom is often someone's speech, isn't it? What comes out of a person. A wise person's words are kind, gracious, timely. We know people who this is true for, don't we? He doesn't say much, but when he does speak, it's well worth listening to. But verse 14, a fool multiplies his words. The Greek philosopher Plato is reputed to have said this: wise men speak because they have something to say. Fools speak because they need to say something. We have one mouth and two ears, as my mum used to say to me. Are you someone who speaks a wise word in time? Or are you someone who has to watch out because maybe you talk a bit too much sometimes and your speech runs away before your thoughts? We're all one or the other, aren't we? And sometimes we might be somebody who has lots of wisdom and doesn't share it. Don't be one of them either. Be wise amidst foolishness. Secondly then, be bold even though life is unpredictable. Be bold, even though life is unpredictable. And I do think that taking risks has become rather counter-cultural these days, hasn't it? Stay safe became a bit of an alternative to saying goodbye during the worst of the pandemic. And so many things are now called emergencies. There's an extreme heat emergency from today until Tuesday, as if nowhere else in the world has ever been in the high 30s or low 40s. Now, whether these things are or aren't emergencies, then being called such makes us risk averse. It makes us risk averse. But the teacher here tells us to trust God. Take a risk. Go for it. Don't be risk averse, the teacher says. And we're in chapter 11 now, verse 1. Chapter 11, verse 1, send your grain across the sea, even though it was risky. Nothing ventured, nothing gained, that is, isn't it? Nothing ventured, nothing gained. Why? Because you're sharing what you have, and you'll likely have others share back with you. And if you happen to be somebody who's in business, you're trading with others, and they'll likely trade with you. Verse 2. Invest in 7 ventures. Yes, in 8. You don't know what disaster may come upon the land. What little saying's that like? Don't put all your eggs in one basket. That's right. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Spread the risk. Make sure you keep lots of possibilities open. Diversify your investments and your opportunities. Don't close doors unnecessarily, because we don't know what the future will bring. Life is unpredictable under the sun. If clouds are full of water, they pour rain on the earth. I'm in verse 3 at the moment. If clouds are full of water, they pour rain on the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there it will be. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. Don't let decision-making and procrastinating paralyze you. Don't spend your time tinkering or waiting for tomorrow. Just get on with it. What was the old Nike slogan? Just do it. Just do it, says the teacher. Verse 5. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. You don't know God's plans for the future. None of us do. It's hidden from us, just like the exact timing of the formation of a baby inside its mother's womb. We don't know what cells dividing into what at any one point, do we? But God does. Just like you don't know precisely the path of the air that blows past you in the breeze, but God does. So just get on and do stuff, says the teacher. So, be wise amidst foolishness. Be bold, even though life is unpredictable. And as we finish up, let's ground this, shall we? Let's ground it. God has given us ways to live wisely, and we can trust him to care for us, even in an unpredictable world. Because he cares for us, he's sovereign, he's in charge of all things. Jesus has been raised up and been given all authority over heaven and earth. That means that we can be bold in decision making. And you don't always have to insulate yourself from risks. It's okay. We'll have an opportunity to join new growth groups, for instance, in September. I know that for some of us, joining something like a growth group, any sort of small group, feels a bit risky, a bit scary. What does the teacher say to that? He says, give it a go. Get on with it. What's the worst that can happen? There are lots of opportunities to get involved in things. In Launchpad and Rockets on Friday evenings from September again. Faith on Friday, Friendship Club at St. Luke's. Sunday groups, Open the Book, and lots more. Take a risk. Have a go. The time is never perfect. If you're waiting for the time to be perfect to get involved in something, to take a risk, then let me tell you this, you'll be waiting forever. The time will never be perfect. Take a risk, have a go. Maybe you're a little on the edge of things here at church, then why not take a risk and get involved in something more? Have a chat with somebody over coffee afterwards. Maybe somebody you haven't talked to yet. Take a risk. Join in something new. Some people find decision-making really, really hard. So why not chat to an older and wiser Christian? Pray and then get on with it. Be bold. Be bold in using your gifts. We only have a limited time in life, don't we? So how are you going to use and invest your time well for God and make the most of your life for him, for the gospel? Many people are up for having a go. Many people are very involved. Praise God. Many people are pouring themselves out and sacrificially giving their time, their effort, their money, their everything. Praise God for that. And they do it even if things don't work out perfectly well. That's okay, isn't it? That's okay. The results aren't up to us anyway. So that frees us to have a go. In fact, having a go is a practical outworking of our faith in God, isn't it? The God who carries us through life, the God who is in charge of everything. But what if we don't know what our gifts are? Well, have you thought of these things as gifts? Financial giving, having people over for a pizza or a coffee, helping someone in need, serving coffee after church. Someone said this, when it comes to kingdom work, we should be venture capitalists willing to take risks for the glory of God. There we go. This one isn't a direct application from our passage, but it is a practical outworking of godly risk-taking. In the Bible, seed and grain is often a picture of the gospel going out. I'm not sure whether it is here, but at least the principle of risk-taking for the gospel stands, doesn't it? Sow the seed of the gospel. Take a risk with that. Maybe talk to somebody about Jesus as he naturally comes up in conversation. Perhaps invite someone to church. That's certainly spiritual venture capitalism, isn't it? Make the most of what God's given us and send it nearby and over the seas. Get involved in it. These verses encourage bold action, don't they? They encourage us to have a purpose for the Lord. But we have an even better standpoint than the teacher ever did. Why? Because we have a view of eternity because of Jesus. Jesus came to the earth. He lived, he died, he was raised, and he's now at the Father's side with all authority over everything. All things hold together through him. And we know where we're going, don't we? And we know that our value, our identity, is found in him. If we're those who trust in Jesus Christ, then we will be with him after this life has finished. So what's the very, very, very worst thing that could ever happen? The very worst thing that could ever happen is that we could die while taking a risk for God. But where do we go then? We go to be with him. The Apostle Paul said that to live is Christ, to die is gain. I'm not advocating that we all go out and take massive risks that cause us to die. Please don't do that. But that is the worst possible thing that could happen. The only thing certain in life is death, isn't it? If you were to die tomorrow, where would you go? Well, if you are trusting in Jesus' death, then you are heading to be with him forever. Come what may. And if you were to die tomorrow, what would you wish you had done with your time, your money, your gifts, your life? Well, the teacher says to us, get on with it, doesn't he? Get on with it. There's lots of so-called wisdom under the sun about how best to live our fleeting life. But are you following the wisdom that's from above the sun? Making the most of the time you have here and taking risks for God. Let me pray for us. Our Father, we praise you for your goodness and your kindness to us. Thank you for your wisdom, and we pray that we would trust you. We would trust you so much that we would be willing to take godly risks for you in your power through the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.